October 10th is World Mental Health Day, and we're talking to Lisa Lawson, social worker at Catholic Charities in Trenton. Lisa, how are mental health professionals dealing with the pandemic?
First and foremost, the pandemic has impacted everyone. It has certainly changed the way we are providing service. The mode of service now is more heavily reliant on telehealth and telemedicine, as it's sometimes called. But it's been beneficial in that way. There's certainly been challenges for everyone, and while many of our organizations, including Catholic Charities, have adjusted to this new mode of service delivery, we still have room to improve. I've been recommending to our clinical professionals to continue to act in a compassionate and patient-centered way, being mindful that as we adjust and as we continue to offer services through this new mode of service delivery, to just be patient, you know, with the population, because it is a very heavy adjustment for most folks. We continue to be solution focused, and we often have open conversations about what works and what hasn't worked, which varies from population to population, while continuing to offer the same level, the same quality of mental health services, behavioral health services, and addiction recovery services. I think what we've learned through COVID is that despite the barriers we've experienced, there is an incredible resilience from the community to adjust to these new service delivery options and to really be more mindful of how to reach and how to access health, not just within the CCBHC-funded programs, but in the mental health and addictions recovery realm as a whole. And so while this has been a challenging time, and despite those barriers, we have certainly been able to identify and highlight some of the pre-existing health disparities and inequities that have been faced by Americans all over the nation. Particularly, one of the barriers we've focused on addressing is individuals living in rural communities, or those who are lacking insurance or proper care, particularly populations that may be considered undocumented, or those, again, who are either uninsured or underinsured, which oftentimes includes the veteran population. So we've continued to navigate the services to the best of our abilities, and that, again, has heavily relied on the use of telehealth, telemedicine to support breaking down those barriers, all in an effort to continue to improve individuals' access to quality care in ways we've never done before. So through our barriers, I think that's that silver cloud as we look for opportunities to improve our current practices and continue to be there for the community as we always have.
So you are working in Trenton, though. So when you talk about rural communities, where are you? What is your interaction with rural communities?
I actually am the director of clinical and integrated health for the agency, in addition to being the project director for the CCBHC. So we oversee programs in both Mercer and Burlington County. Burlington County is much more rural. Within the inner city, within Trenton, what we're finding is, these are not ordinary times, but our response to what we're finding are continued inequities, I guess, within society are a lack of access to internet, a lack of access to telephones, which heavily impacts the ability to provide telephonic and telehealth interventions. And we've been very grateful for the federal and state funding that has helped to provide some solutions to that, providing technology to consumers so that they can interact virtually. But in addition to that, you know, we've also found that a barrier, as it has been even prior to COVID, is a lack of transportation access to programs, particularly for individuals who are, you know, struggling with comorbidities that may impact their ability to, you know, not everyone can just walk to program, even if they live in Trenton. So a couple of things we've done is through the use of the CCBHCs and other funding, we've been able to enhance and increase our transportation fleet. We are continuing to, despite COVID, offer on-site traditional services in addition to telehealth and telephonic interventions, doing so through the scope of heightened universal precautions. So we're taking every step we can to ensure that we have PPE, that social distancing is being practiced, that group therapy and outpatient therapy and even access to addictions recovery and primary care services is done in as safe and sterile a way as possible, so that for those folks who are impacted and who do not have the ability or choose not to use telehealth or telephonic interventions, that they have that option to come into the office in both counties.
Are you treating veterans for the most part?
Veterans are a very significant population, but they are within the greater population of Catholic Charities. And so we serve a plethora of communities. I would say veterans are a part of that larger community that we do serve. However, we have found, particularly to the veteran population, that they typically receive either outpatient one-on-one or PACT, which is a sort of community treatment services. But for the most part, COVID has impacted everyone. Mental health continues, you know, to impact everyone regardless of demographics. And so really we're continuing to work with everyone.
What kind of, you know, on both sides of the equation, the providers and the patients, what kind of problems are you seeing as a result of COVID-19, and how are the providers dealing with this?
As I mentioned earlier, one of the biggest barriers we found is the inaccessibility to care. And so that has been a challenge for providers, both in the clinical realm as well as in the primary care and specialized health realm. And so how we have, I guess, as an industry even, moved towards being more mindful of that service delivery is to provide increased telehealth services and to provide greater value-based care, whether that is nurses and medical staff now going to people's homes and providing socially distant medical services, whether that is providers extending their schedules or their hours availability to reflect the needs of the community, which we understand vary, right? So some children are still using remote learning. They may not be in the classroom at this time, the traditional classroom, which means that some providers who are supporting children and families are now making themselves available later in the day or earlier in the day, depending on what those needs of those families are. So scheduling has changed, availability has changed, the way we provide services has changed. Again, a lot of this is being offered through secure software like telehealth software and increased telephonic interventions. So that has been one of the biggest barriers, is just the access piece, which again, through enhanced transportation services and through the increased use of telehealth software, that's how we've really addressed it.
Well, I guess what I mean is what kinds of clinical problems are you seeing in people, and how are the mental health workers dealing with this?
Oh, certainly. I would say that, you know, again, going back to the social inequities that have been highlighted as a result of COVID, we have seen that certain communities are experiencing higher rates of infection and death, particularly those who are socioeconomically disadvantaged. And so for those folks, we are certainly seeing, and including the veteran population, an increase in the desire to attend grief counseling and group grief counseling. And so we have in effect, continue to offer those grief group counseling, and also have expanded that to include virtual group grief counseling and individual grief counseling for those folks who are survivors of the coronavirus and for those who have lost family and friends as a result of the coronavirus. We have seen that many more folks coming in are reporting environmental factors impacting their depression, including unemployment. Unemployment has skyrocketed for many folks during COVID. And so to address that, we have placed more of an emphasis on our availability and ability to address issues like unemployment by continuing to provide supported employment and vocational services, which now for the first time as a result of COVID, we're offering those services virtually, because while folks may be struggling with unemployment and struggling with finding a new job, they're still looking. People are still looking, and people need that support. And so in addition to having our on-site services, we've adjusted our ability to provide those services virtually as well as by phone. So that's definitely been something we've seen as a market increase in the last 6 or 7 months.
How are the, you know, mental health professionals dealing with this, either an increased workload, perhaps some problems they haven't seen before? Is this taking a toll on them? How are they dealing with this new world of the kind of work they do?
Sure. I think that one of the things I can say, at least for our agency, and something that was addressed initially, was being mindful of what the needs of the clinicians and the staff are, as well as the consumers, because you're absolutely right. It's not just our patients that are being impacted by COVID, but our staff as well. And so there are folks who have had a great deal of stress because a partner may have lost their job, or their children are at home and they need to continue to provide that outpatient care, behavioral health care in the community, but are not able to do so anymore in the office, or not with the same frequency. And so that certainly has caused a level of stress. And so a few ways that we have addressed this is by really increasing our transparency and communication with all levels of staff through the agency, any updates on the coronavirus, any EAP services that are available. We're conducting a wellness fair for our staff virtually. We are on a case-by-case basis being mindful of what the current needs of the staff are, whether that is, you know, not working in a traditional setting, but maybe working from home so that they can be with their families, so that they can be with their loved ones, especially those who may be suffering from other health issues that put them at greater risks. And so I think agencies in general, that ability to be mindful of the needs of the staff has greatly reduced what would otherwise be, and truly is, a stressful situation for many folks. In addition to the stressors of what we just talked about, staff that have been in the field for decades are now learning technology and learning how to use technology that they've never had to learn before. And so that in itself can be quite an adjustment, can be quite stressful. And so we've been sure to respond to that by providing, in addition to patients, trainings, virtual trainings, frequent availability, communication, and attempting to make this adjustment to more of a virtual realm, to the increased use of technology, more comfortable for staff. And we've seen that over the past several months, staff have acclimated really well to it, and folks seem to be a lot more at ease than initially when folks were concerned about the burdens associated with the use of these new technologies.
Now, the certified community behavioral health clinics, what is really, you know, the aim of these clinics? I mean, you mentioned access to rural areas, integrating behavioral and physical health care. What is really, you know, these clinics were designed for what purpose?
So the CCBHCs were designed to enhance access to healthcare services, whether that be behavioral health, addictions recovery, primary or specialized care. It is federal funding that enables individuals who may otherwise not have access to those services to have access. So the CCBHCs provide enhanced transportation services. They have increased and enhanced personnel in many programs. We provide services through the CCBHCs regardless of a person's ability to pay, regardless of their insurance or lack of insurance. And importantly, for some populations, we offer many services now free of charge, regardless of citizenship. So that has greatly supported and impacted those individuals who may be in the process of working towards their immigration status, for individuals who are victims of domestic violence, for individuals who have served our country proudly but are unable to get certain services in a timely fashion just because of the current health delivery system. And so the CCBHCs really are that it's almost like a backdoor to services that folks hadn't had before. And so it's been incredibly wildly successful over the last several years, and something that we continue to utilize to the best of our abilities to continue to offer those services to the community.
All right. Well, Lisa, thanks very much. Unless there's something that you want to add that I haven't asked you about.
Not really. Just that I hope that clinicians continue to be solution focused and continue to practice self-care for themselves, so that we can continue to be effective in the community that we support. And that self-care is incredibly important, especially now during COVID.
Lisa Lawson of Catholic Charities in Trenton, thanks very much for joining us.